Type of Cthulhu presents A Call of Cthulhu Scenario, The Quickening Spiral by Stuart Boone.
So I think we can kill both of those birds with Gary's stone here, so to speak. let's see here. So Jimmy the Lip Glenn did not show up for rehearsal this afternoon at around noon, and shortly thereafter, the rest of the band discovered his jacket out in the back alley in none too fine condition. And I guess I'm curious as to what he's been up to last night and this morning.
I ain't curious, man. The things that boy gets up to, they are not fit for kind. They are not fit for normal man. Delicate
well,
is
that right there.
Delicate
right
ears
there,
should not be listening to his tales.
Well, luckily, the delicate ears are not here today.
And as you know, he ain't no normal man.
Mostly,
he's unnatural.
Goes to he'll go to some probably a couple of the what's it called? Speakeasies.
Sure.
And it's fairly boring because he does that, and he'll go out and he practices on his trumpet. He's not. I mean, he'll have quite a few drinks at the speakeasies to enjoy himself. And yeah, he's not. He's not that so maybe a case of he lost it from the back of his car when he was
in a drunken stupor.
Between speakeasies.
All right, and where does he wake up this afternoon?
Probably in some hotel somewhere.
All right. So,
what bodily fluid does he soak in today?
All of them.
Oh, so it was a good night.
So the Lips wakes up in a small hotel room. He's got his trumpet cradled in his arms. His jacket is nowhere to be seen. The car has somehow miraculously ended up fairly near the hotel, and he wanders downstairs and realizes he's about 2 hours late for rehearsal, and he knows that Alicia Stone is likely to cut him loose if he shows up late too many more times. So he rushes off to the Chat Noir, which is the nightclub where you guys have your regular gig, and it's closed in terms of they're not doing performances for the public, but it is open for you guys to go in. So you come in, and your drummer bartender, or occasional drummer and normal bartender, who definitely has a name here, lets you know that the band has left you a message.
Luke Turner,
thank you. And it's a little bit convoluted. It has some scratch-outs. It seems like first they went for some reason to talk to the owner of this nightclub, a Duplessis, down at his sugar factory, and then They came back and left a note that they were headed up for the Belle Epoque, which is a nightclub that you know of, which is fairly fairly tony, definitely ritzier than the Chat Noir. It's typically a white men's only club. I did forget to ask. Maybe I knew this. Jimmy is white, correct?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. There's something about blue eyes in your character sheet there.
Yeah.
So you head along to the La Belle Epoque, and you are let in. You sort of neaten up your shirt a little bit as you go, and you still have your trumpet in hand because you're a little asleep still. Somehow, as you get out of your car, it seems like the thing to do. And the hostess there, a gorgeous woman by the name of, we're so close here to being put together here. Drufel. What's her name?
I guess you guys never remember her name.
Yeah, you don't know her name. That is the issue. So the hostess at La Belle Epoque
That's not an issue.
Right, exactly. Exactly. You don't need to know names.
I don't need to know
names.
You're
not going to marry her.
I don't care. Exactly.
She knows him just fine.
She looks at you and she says, your band is up top. And she walks you up a beautiful set of wooden stairs, and for some unknown reason, Alicia, your leader and vocalist, is coming down the stairs, and she gives you a nasty glare as you pass her on the stairs, and you are let into a very nice office. There is a large gentleman in a suit sitting behind a desk, and your bandmates Ivory and Paul are in the room, sort of looking at each other, a little surprised, and the man sees you come in and sort of waves vaguely for you to take a seat or not, as you see fit. And he looks back at you and at the other two and says, well, as I was saying, Louison came in looking to have me help him hire a murderer for him and a hitman. And I refused to do that. I finally calmed him down, though. I was making a bit of a ruckus here in the bar, and I couldn't have him going off. He's been getting crazier over the past few months, maybe even years. But anyway, I finally calmed him down by saying I'd help him cast a curse on this woman he thinks is out to get him. You know, fight fire with fire. So I said I'd get him some good voodoo book so that he could cast his own curse. And, well, that seemed to calm him down, and he went on his way.
Did you ever get him that there voodoo book, sir?
So what'd you say?
Did you ever get him that voodoo book?
I hired a guy, Danny Jacques, to get him a book that looked pretty good, and he delivered it. He paid for it with his mama's jewelry. He's definitely scraping the bottom.
Mm.
But, looked pretty good. It was all, you know, black leather and fancy handwriting and stuff. Seemed like it.
Do you have a way we could contact this Jacques fellow?
Well, you can normally get a hold of him down across the river there in Algiers. I think if you were to visit the Ribbon Cane across the way there, the barkeep would let you know how to find him.
Much obliged, sir.
Sure. What are you all planning to do?
Hello?
Oh.
Sorry, what was that? What are we planning to
do?
Oh.
We're going to go to the, we just got the info that the guy that got the voodoo book to cast the curse can be found, or info about him can be found at the Ribbon Cane in Algiers across the river.
Can I get a spot hidden, please, from Paul, Ivory, and Jimmy?
Okay, spot hidden.
24, boom. That's a hard success for Ivory.
58 is a failure.
Okay. And Jim?
I have a pass of some kind. I have to find my character to tell you how much is a pass by. Oops, wrong application. It is a spot hidden of... Come on, open up. I know you want to.
That's what he was thinking in his brain to the waitress the other time.
Hard success.
Ooh, okay.
Two hard successes.
Yep. Well, that is excellent. So, what Paul notices is that Ivory seems to be scratching a little something on his left arm, I believe.
Arms and back.
Oh, and occasionally going around to his neck there.
I was thinking maybe lower back.
Lower back? All right.
That's not really news. We already knew he was sick. Is that rash?
Well, maybe you see me. I scratch myself and then I wipe my hand on the guy's chair.
Look like you're getting Ivory. A little sicker there. Abe.
Ivory, you see Paul kind of reaching down and scratching behind his right knee a little bit, and then he stops himself, and you can see him kind of fighting it a little bit.
Uh-huh, yeah, I'm feeling fine, Paul. You feeling fine? And I give him a little bit of a lifted eye.
I'm feeling just as fine as you are, boy.
That's what I thought.
Randall, how's your character?
He's going along. Almost
can
ready.
I get a do you have the primary attributes done?
Yeah.
Can I get a con roll from you?
Yes. That is pass.
Pass.
Exactly.
All right. So so you wake up in your apartment a little bit feverish, and your girlfriend comes into the room there and says, Your bandmates were just here, and well, you were in no condition to see them, but they seemed like they were all off on the town there. I'm not sure what they were up to, but you better get your ass out of bed and get down to work.
I should do that. Yeah. And I will get up and get ready.
Yeah, you don't feel well, but you are able to get yourself out of bed finally. It's been, I don't know, maybe some kind of a flu or something, but you definitely were not doing well. You were in and out of fever dreams all morning.
All right. I'll drink some water, a lot. Nothing else, and just get ready and head down towards, you know, try to look for my companions.
Alrighty.
Band companions. Yeah, feeling a little, you know, my neck is a little bit itchy. I scratched it on the way down. Yep, looking for my friends.
All right. So what are you two, are you three that are there at the, at La Belle Époque? What are you up to?
Well, I think I'm good here. If we have time, I wanted to make my way over to Algiers to look around a little bit before going to the voodoo ritual to cure me tonight.
Okay. Yeah. It's getting on to late afternoon, but you certainly can get a ferry across the river and look around if you want to. You probably don't want to be wandering around looking lost at night, but on the other hand, you probably
won't be lost.
Worst places.
We're going to be going to the Ribbon Cane, and that's about it. Do we, or any of us know of the Ribbon Cane? Can we see if that's a possibility?
Yeah, why don't you give me some no roll?
Let's see how everyone else does, because I can burn one luck if I need to succeed.
I'd foul.
Yeah, I know nothing about it.
Okay, so I burn one luck, and that's a success.
Coming!
All right. So you you know roughly where it is, and you know that it is considered one of the roughest bars in town. That it's a rough bar in a rough neighborhood. You've probably heard stories of a friend of a friend who got beat up or killed there.
Is this your kind of place, Abe? No wonder you know about it.
No, I know of it. This ain't my kind of place. That's why I don't know exactly rightly where it is.
I am, however, thinking that it's probably not a right place for Miss Stone to go.
No. It's a good thing we'll be having her stay behind.
Yep.
Isn't that right, Miss Stone?
She walked off in a hut. Well, she walked out of there. Worry about her.
Well, sounds like a good plan. We could make our way over there and then to this here hoodoo ritual.
So Olivier wishes you good luck, and you let yourselves out and head down the stairs. The hostess definitely notices you all and seems to give Paul a wink, although maybe she's giving Ivory a wink. You know, it's hard to tell sometimes.
One can't be too sure.
No, not really. It's pretty obvious.
The band is playing again. The banjo Bob there. And they give you a wave as you go by, and You guys head out into the street. Oh, Danny Banjo. There we go. Banjo Barker. Do we want to pass by the Chat Noir on the way to Algiers, since it's on the way?
Well, yeah. I want to refill my flask.
Well, Ian,
excellent.
We should at least try to find Saxy.
Well, he's going to be there because he makes it to the Chat Noir about as you're filling up your flask. Four of the band together.
Saxy. What have we here? Look at what Le Chat Noir dragged in.
He's can't talk this morning.
have I catch up with the band?
So you guys are all together at your
bar,
your home nightclub.
Okay.
3 p.m.
All right. So he's Samuel Magic Thompson.
But we still call him Saxy.
Saxy.
And He comes to you and says, "Hey, I heard you were looking for me some time ago. Sorry I'm late."
Yeah, we're used to it by now. We're used to it by now, Saxy. Don't worry, you're pretty little head over it.
You can see him scratching his neck. "I'm not feeling well this morning."
So a normal day then.
Indeed it is. Hungover, probably. But don't tell anyone.
Well, come on, Saxy. Abe here's got some place he wants to show us. One of his favorite places.
Yeah, that's it.
So what's happening, guys? What have we got ourselves into today?
It's a riot mystery. There, Lips. Wait, Lips, are you there yet?
We're about to go get
All right, everyone's there.
Yep, sweet. We're about to go get ourselves into a fight, I think, is what's about to happen.
Yep, and then I pat my vest pocket where my derringer is.
Hey, you guys know where my jacket is? Sort of lost it last night.
Yeah, trust me, you don't want that back.
You don't want that jacket, Lips.
I did see it this morning. You don't want to bet.
Okay.
So, lead on, Abe.
All right. Head on to the ferry.
All right. So you walk down to the docks and cross on the ferry over to Algiers, and You get yourself pretty close and eventually find the Ribbon Cane Bar. It is a two-story building between some very large warehouses. And as you go in, there's, it's just a real stale bar. Stale alcohol, stale sweat, stale smoke. Even at 4 o'clock, there's a fair number of people inside drinking, and they look like they've been there since yesterday or the day before.
Sorry, Edwin, what's the name of this place again?
This is the Ribbon Cane.
Ribbon Cane, okay. For some reason I was getting stuck on Rainbow. Okay.
Rainbow?
The Serpent and the Rainbow?
Something like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really hope we don't have any chair nailing incidents.
So there's
and if
a.
You don't, if you don't get that, you guys need to watch that frickin' movie.
That's a good movie.
Oh, which so good.
Which movie?
Serpent and the Rainbow. With Bill Pullman? Paxton.
Yep.
No, Bill Pullman.
Yep, Bill Pullman.
It's a voodoo movie. Really, really, really good.
So, yeah, this looks like your kind of place, Abe.
Gee.
I can see why.
Thanks, Paul.
I can see why you come over here every time.
Yeah. Like I said, but you weren't listening. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. I'm sure all the beautiful women in there you see, or men that you see in there, are clouding your judgment. Let's, we gonna head on in? Paul, you seem to be the good talker. You wanna talk to the barman about this, fella?
About Mr. Louison?
Louison?
Yeah, I guess I will.
I'll watch him back. Yep, yep, that's what I thought. And I'll take another sip off my flask.
Jimmy, Saxy, if you guys would watch Abe watching my back, I'd appreciate it.
I wink as he walks away.
I will go up to the bartender.
All right. What can I get you?
You can get me a bourbon and a person. I'm looking for Mr. Louison. I was told he hang out here.
Louison? I'm sure he's never been in this place.
Ah, that's
a bourbon.
That's awfully certain. You know Louison then.
Sure, he's that crazy rich man lives down south of here.
You got an address or directions or?
Well, lives out near the bayou. On the old plantation, a couple hours from here, near Thibodeau.
Yeah. Well, how do you know him if you never come in here then?
I know lots of folk. It's my job. What kind of bourbon you want?
The cheap kind.
Got some of that. And he pulls down an unlabeled glass bottle and pours you a glass and hands it to you. This is what you're looking for?
I will slam one down, leave him a tip, and go back out to join the others.
Okay. Give me an idea roll, all of you, if you would.
Idea roll?
I think that's what we're supposed to do here.
Failing. Success.
Fail.
Hard success.
So, Paul, you know that your bandmates told you to come in here and ask for Louison, but you also remember that Olivier said that he hired a guy and that guy hangs out at the Ribbon Cane.
Oh, that's right. Did we get that name?
You did, in fact, ask him and get that name. You just didn't get it written down.
Nope.
And that name was Jacques. Let's see, that was his last name. There we go. Danny Jacques.
Okay. Well, then I will turn around and go back to the bartender.
All right. Looking for another person and another bourbon?
A bourbon in the name. You got it, my bro. Danny Jacques.
Give me an insight roll, please.
Is the name.
Psychology name.
P-Psychology. Wait, where'd my dice throw there? Oh, wait. 20, yeah, normal success.
All right. So what he says is, I haven't seen him in weeks. What you get is first you see his eyes kind of flash a little bit, and then and he has that just that brief hesitation, and then he says, I haven't seen him in weeks.
You haven't seen him in weeks? Well, weeks before tonight, so you're seeing him tonight. He's here, right?
Here, in the bar? No.
But you would know where to
find him. I don't know where he is.
You don't know where he... No idea, huh? No idea.
Nope.
And let's see. What should I attempt to do here? I would like to... Let's see. What I'm going for is a persuade attempt.
Okay.
You sure you haven't seen him around? You see a bourbon drinker or whiskey drinker or rum drinker? What does he like to drink?
Oh, well, he does like to drink. Seems to mostly drink the rum. Why?
Oh, I'd just like to get an idea of the fella, that's all. What a man drinks says a lot about him, don't you say? I think you as a bartender would know that better than most.
Sometimes it does.
So he likes to drink, but he don't drink here. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, hasn't drunk here in a while.
How long a while?
Said I hadn't seen him in a few weeks.
Ah, well, that's what you said. That's what you said. But, you know. Maybe you remember.
What do you want with him?
Maybe you remember different.
What do you want with him?
Well, I was told he could get his hand on some, I'll lean in, some of that hoodoo. I need some help with a woman. You know how it is.
You got money?
I lean back. I got money.
Why don't you give me a roll to go with it?
See, I put a lot of points in persuade.
Awesome.
I think that's actually an extreme success. It is. Spot on.
Excellent. Well, he leans forward to you, and you can tell that T is not above sampling his own wares. And he says, well, I could point you to Danny, but I'm not sure he's up for finding stuff right now. He's kind of gone a bit south, if you know what I mean. He's not quite himself, but maybe having a job to do is what he needs to set himself straight.
Having a job to do set anyone straight. So where can I find him?
Well, if you head down to my boat, the Angelica, there on the docks, I reckon you'll find him there. I've been taking care of him.
Your boat, the, what was it again?
Angelica.
Angelica. Beautiful name, sir. Beautiful name you got there.
Yeah. She's been good. She's been through a lot of night traffic, if you know what I mean. She's faster than the police, that's for sure.
Well, I will do. Go right have a look. Thank you very
you
much.
You treat him nice
time.
Now.
Oh, he's of course. I'm looking to hire the man, not hurt the man. I want to give the man the money.
Good luck.
I'll leave the bartender another tip for my bourbon.
And name? Excellent.
And rock out to back to the others.
All right.
So, Abe, you know this place. Where do you tie the ships up here?
Well, I would assume down near the river.
Yes, you're near the river. You're just between a couple warehouses, and he'd sort of, the bartender had sort of pointed down one direction.
Gave it that away?
Yep.
Okay.
Over there.
All right, make our way.
All right, so you, I was all excited to have a steamship come by, but then, the quality of the noise changed. So you see a fairly large boat named with the name painted on the bow, moored not too far, and there's a plank that goes from the dock to the deck. Boat looks, do any of you know boats at all? I don't think so.
No, not here.
So it's floating? Looks like a boat?
I have a 1% chance of being able to pilot one.
I can never get one.
Well, so that looks like that looks like it.
Well, let's have a look see, shall we?
Well, you go right ahead and do that, Abe.
Okay. I will get onto the boat.
I will stay here in the docks and watch your back.
I'll go with Abe.
Lips and Saxy, I would care for you to watch Paul watch my back, please.
I will actually go and help him.
Awesome.
Rouse the boat.
Perfect.
Okay, I'll hang around with Paul.
And just stay here, Paul. Watch our backs. Don't get scared. We'll be right here.
Don't worry, right. I got Jimmy for company.
All right, so then, yeah, I guess we'll head on to the boat.
All right, so you guys cross the plank. The deck of the boat is fairly plain. There's a empty mast that goes up into the air. By empty, I mean no sail attached to it, right. And it's a fairly long boat. The deck may be 90 or 100 feet long, so it's pretty big. You can see a few hatches on the deck, and otherwise it's pretty well cleared. There's there's a little pilot house near the rear.
Hmm.
I guess that's it's a wooden boat. Looks old.
Okay. And this guy's name Danny Jacques, right?
Yep.
I'll I think once we get to like the back cabin part of the boat or whatever, I'll poke my head in or open the door, knock on the door. If it's not open, say, Mr. Jacques, Danny Jacques.
So there's a open, basically an open pilot house at the back. Nothing in there. You can see that there's from the pilot house. There's a hatch that would go down into the boat, and then there were a couple up on the dock.
Well, then up on the deck. The hatch. That goes down. I'll open that up and then.
All right.
Ask for him.
All right. Can you give me a listen roll, please?
I can try.
Sure. Both of us, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's a hard success. I burn one luck to make it a hard success.
Awesome. I pass normally.
All right. So, so Ivory hears, and then after he shushes up Saxy, Saxy can also hear, it's gonna be bad. It's like, can't tell. It's, all bad and fire. Sort of coming from somewhere in the dark, through the hatch after you open it up.
Okay, is there like a deck lantern or something I can grab and light?
Sure.
So I'll do that and then start heading down into the hold or the lower cabin.
Climb down a steep ladder into the hold there. And it does. Sorry, what?
I was just gonna say to Ivory, just be careful. He doesn't shoot us. He sounds drunk.
And it doesn't smell so good in here. Although it probably smells better than the cane bar, the ribbon cane did. Paul and Jimmy, you watch Ivory and Saxy's backs disappear. So you've done your job, I guess, as well as you're going to do them. the two of you head down into the hold. Do you guys on the dock want to do anything differently?
Nope.
I'll basically keep an eye out all around. I might wander or just get close to the boat.
All right. So yeah, you can. So you're on the dock end of the board.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. All righty. So, the two of you, Ivory and Saxy, you go down and sort of follow your ears, and you eventually come across what looks like a pile of blankets with some noise coming from it, but you can see that there's a man in the blankets, and it's all tossed and messy, you know, it's not, and it looks like he's maybe asleep and talking, sort of tossing and turning, and his hair is all matted and sticking out.
Well, I'll make sure that before we approach him, you know, there are no knives or pistols or rifles lying around, and if they are, you're gonna take them away.
All right, give me a spot hidden.
That is a pass.
All right. Yeah, you don't see any.
I was just gonna make sure that my nose and mouth are covered with like my shirt or something like that.
Okay.
Actually, it is a hard success.
All right. So yeah, so you kick aside some of the outlying blankets and move around some pieces, and you don't find any weapons. You find that there's a bottle of hooch and a box of crackers that's been opened, and there's some moldy cheese, so maybe there's a small knife near the cheese. You can kick that out of the way.
For sure. And then after that, I'll go, hey, mister, are you all right?
So, so eventually, assuming that's your goal, you manage to wake him up, and you probably have to shake him once or twice. And he opens his eyes and looks at you. I just realized that at some point I might need dice.
not to give anything away. And he looks at you, and you see his eyes go wide, and he says, "Oh, the fires are coming."
So,
I
you know, kind of touch his
Moira, what are you talking about?
If he's got a fever.
Give me a medicine roll.
I don't have any medicine.
Boy, what are you talking about? What fires?
I will roll. All
right.
Oh, 02.
Nice.
Nice.
He is hot, but doesn't seem... He's certainly... He's not at a... at a pitched fever, he is feverish. So
okay.
It wouldn't burn. I need some food, some money. And you can see that he's kind of scratching at his hair and rubbing his arms, washing his hands almost. Except, you know, that's just that kind of, hand scrubbing movements and so forth.
Mm.
And then you can see that he sort of latches onto you a little bit. And
well, I don't want that.
Not physically.
Okay.
Focuses on you, which you might also not want. And he says, who are you?
We're looking to find out where you got that hoodoo book for. I want to say Lestrange, but I know that's wrong. Louison.
That was a bad book.
I know. Where did you get it?
I don't give my sources.
Not even for some Kentucky bourbon?
Bourbon would be great.
Well, he's pretty much like invalid at the moment, right? He's just laying there.
I mean, he sort of sat up. As he focused on you, but he doesn't look like he's about to start, you know, jumping and skipping or anything.
Is there a glass or a cup around?
Well, there's his bottle of hooch there, which is not empty.
Right. But I'm gonna give him some.
Yeah, next to that, there'd be a small dirty glass.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take out my flask and pour him some of my hooch.
All right. He looks at it and he says, "Oh, maybe I can get clean from the inside. I'm so dirty. I've been blackened like fire."
And you know, if you help us out with this, with the location you got this book at, you know, I may have something I could tell you, something of a cure that I myself have recently learned of.
Cure? I don't think there's a cure for what I have. Not much.
I wouldn't be too sure about that, friend.
Well, it's gone. It's not there.
What? What's gone?
It's not there.
What's not there?
The book. The book's not there.
Well, yes, but they could have other things that could help stop that this disease.
What disease?
Oh, you're scratching, right? You have the spots?
He looks at his arms. I don't know of any. And you can sort of see him staring at it. Give me a spot hidden.
Okay. 91.
26. That's a pass.
All right. Well, one of you doesn't see any spot. Saxy, you see that he doesn't seem like he's actually scratching himself so much as rubbing himself. And yeah, neither of you see any spots on his arms or anything.
Did your sickness start after the after you got this book?
I should never have read it. There are things in there that should not be.
And who has the book now? This Louis Sohn? Where's Louis Sohn?
Well, Louis Sohn. And he reaches under the blanket, and he pulls up what looks like a necklace with a pearl hanging from it, and he stares at it for a while, and then he sees you, and he tucks it back into his hand and hides it under the blanket, and he says, "Oh, Louis Sohn. Oh, I bet he's, yes, on fire. But he's a richer man than I. I looked deep in the book, and I made myself a book, and it made me into this. I'm blackened and filthy with the ways of the universe. Hungry, and I'm food.
But you'll do you all right. Don't you worry. You're not sick. I don't think you're sick, sir. Did I get a spot on the amulet that he was holding? Did he just hide it?
You saw it. So he was sort of holding it up and staring at it for a little while, and then seemed to see you and remember that you were there. So yeah, so it was a gold chain. And hanging from it was a pearl with some gold leaves. You can see that. So it might have been like the pearl that looked like an apple kind of thing, okay. You know, with the two gold leaves from it.
Then make any null roll or a cold roll?
You want to.
I guess I'll make one. Yes.
I failed the occult roll.
Okay.
Check on the no. And I passed the no roll.
Alright.
I am a fail on both.
It looks expensive. It looks classy. It looks old.
I'll kind of reach down and grab him. Where did you get the book?
You don't want the book. The book will kill us.
Yes, where did you get it?
I tried to wash it away. I tried to burn it. It doesn't burn. It doesn't wash.
It just came back the
very
next day.
It never leaves. It comes back. It's coming back.
Who cursed you with this book? Where did you get it from so we can have revenge? trying to play to any of his senses right now.
Sure.
That are still left.
Yeah, these are not people you can revenge on. this is more power than you have. And he starts scratching around.
Gibbering?
Right. Gibbering. So, that's interesting.
Okay, I will, you know, I will, you know, get closer and, you know, he's got the blankets there and I will try to move the blankets around. Okay, you try to feel better and try to get the blankets around him and patting, you know. You'll feel better.
Why don't you give me a stealth there? And don't. I'm worried it's a contested roll, so just tell me what you get.
I do. Can I be sneaky instead?
What is sneaky? Is it a sneak roll?
Yes,
I mean?
Sneak roll. Yeah.
Sure. Because there is no stealth roll, right?
No. I have a 31.
Okay. Yeah, so you sort of look like you're trying to sort of tuck him in a little bit, and, you know, you rearrange his glass and maybe pour him a little of his hooch, and as you've got him distracted, you reach down and you start... You find the necklace and you tug on it a little bit and you can see that it's sort of wrapped around his fingers. But as he goes for the glass of hooch, he opens his hand up and you kind of slip it off. It's not actually that difficult. You're pretty sure that most people would have been aware of what you were up to. But he's obviously not able to focus on more than one thing at a time, and you put it into your pocket.
Okay.
He sort of goes off in a fairly lengthy, mumbly tirade. And again, really a lot of stuff about wash it, need to wash it away, I need to clean, need to get rid of it. It doesn't burn, it doesn't wash, it comes back, it keeps coming back. And I don't know how long you want to wait, but it seems like he's sort of stuck in this loop for a while.
Yeah, a couple minutes of that, and I'll just say, come on, Saxy, this guy's gone, let's get out of here. We got kind of the info that we needed.
Okay.
I think we just need to go after this Louis Saint character.
But we still don't know anything about him.
Well, didn't Paul find out where he was? Down in the bayou?
Okay. All right. I'll put the... I'll put it around my neck, the amulet.
All right. It's very feminine.
Under my shirt.
All right. So the gold leaves sort of tickle you a little bit, but You can certainly do that.
Okay.
And I guess you come back up the ladder and
we go back to the others.
Yeah, meet up with the other guys. Yeah. Tell them what transpired. That cat is crazy. He's sick and delirious, but he read that book that he gave to Louison, and man, boys, just sounds like some dark black magic.
Yeah.
Couldn't get him to tell us where he got the book from.
Well, that's fine. We don't need a book. We just need to go to this thing with Doc Moonlight and get ourselves a cure.
Yep. That sounds like the plan.
I mean, get you a cure, Abe.
Yeah, you mean ourselves, right?
Paul? No, you're the sick one.
Mm-hmm. Maybe of body, not in the head, like some others.
So it's about 6 o'clock, and you guys were told to meet around 11:30 back at Doc Moonlight's, the St. George Hotel. So you have, take you about half an hour to get back across the river, and then you have easy 5 hours to do whatever, drink, rest, eat.
Would the bartender be opposed to me wheeling the piano, like, towards the outside on the sidewalk? And just, like, maybe for publicity's sake, we play some free music for people?
With your hat out?
No.
You can certainly...
Just to play music, man. I just want to play. I haven't played the piano in, like, a day. That is not acceptable.
And I'll join in with my trumpet.
All right.
Well, we should ask Alicia. Maybe she still wants us to have a practice, since we weren't able to have a practice earlier because Saxie and Jimmy here were
indisposed.
Couldn't be bothered to show up.
So you head back to the Chat Noir and... there's a note from Alicia suggesting that you should work your way through the some of the new songs that you've picked up and get yourselves ready, and that she's out looking for some place where there might be a paying gig that she could get you on for a few nights until the Black Cat opens up again.
I was thinking her note would be along the lines of, "Dear boys, you're all terrible. Practice so that you're not terrible anymore." Heart.
I didn't get that sense from her.
I don't know. Towards the end of last session, I didn't think she was having a... Miss Stone was feeling quite outclassed by a hostess.
Well, there it is, boys. The boss says practice.
So you guys spend a few hours practicing, and maybe you take some of it to the streets a little bit. If one of you wants to give me I guess it would be an art roll with advantage, since you have all of y'all together. Whoever has the best, whatever it is.
I put 65 on my skill, so.
Same here, 65.
I have 75 on the bass in particular, but I have 60 music in general. So.
Go. You go, Yim.
And I botch.
So you get an advantage die awesome. On this one.
Oh. So
whatever, the bonus die. Sorry. Yes. So roll the tens place again.
So we're starting out with a 98 here. And Ooh. We will change that into a 58.
Excellent. All right. Well, so you guys are pretty tired, and you haven't yet gotten your second win that you get once the sun's really, really down and the alcohol's flowing. But you guys, you work through some of the new stuff, and you think you can make it fly. You get a little bit of change from the passersby, and. You certainly manage to while away the hours in a way that you like. Sometimes it's hard to concentrate on some of the music as you're itching and scratching, but for the most part, it does distract you from the pox. And you see the nightlife start to pick up. People are. Headed to dinner, and then they're headed from dinner, and it's getting on towards 10 and finally 11 o'clock, and you pack up and head towards the St. George.
Let's go, boys. We don't want Abe to be late for his cure.
Yeah, we don't want us to be late for our cure.
Indeed.
And so you get to the St. George, and the Doc Moonlight looks you over and says, "Well, are all four of you coming?"
Yep.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, and just for the sake of, I'm sure your effectiveness of the cure, you need the people that are sick to identify themselves, correct, Doc? Yeah, I'm sick.
Well, I'm just the intermediary in this case. I'm not going to be affecting the cure.
Damn it.
That's okay, Abe. Everybody knows you're sick, boy.
Am I feeling any better, Ellie?
Yeah. You're not at 100%, but you're feeling a little better. You're still itchy, but your flu symptoms seem to have gone away.
Nice.
So Doc looks at you and says, "Well, I hope you don't mind, but we're gonna have to blindfold you and spin you around a few times before we get to the place we're headed. It's you're not part of the congregation, and I don't wanna."
I raise an eyebrow, but I say, I guess that would be fine.
So, so you guys walk a few blocks east from the St. George, and then he produces four blindfolds and asks you to put them on, and. Sort of spins each one of you around, or at least as far as you know, and then kind of lines you up with a hand on the shoulder of somebody, and you look sort of like a black and white press gang as you're led not too far, and you can start to hear the hum of conversation and a bit of music, and you feel yourselves pass through a curtain, and then
and you feel a bunch of people sort of bump into you, and you bump into people, and eventually your blindfolds are removed. You are in a what obviously somebody's house, and you're in a room with maybe 10 or 15 people. It's pretty crowded, small room. And you can see that there's an opening which is curtained through to another room. And I need to open this up here for a second. And the... Where are we here? There we go. Hanging on the wall... hanging above the doorway into the other room is a big white curtain painted with this symbol, and you can hear some drums start playing, and you are led in, and there's at one end of the room there's a seems to be an altar with candles and silver bowls and so forth. And next to it is a stool with a very old woman who is, you can barely see her. She's got so much clothing and, you know, wraps and things around her head and her shawls and so forth. Just seems like she's 98% clothing and, but there's kind of some very sharp black eyes sparkling through it all that you can see. And you are placed around a decorated pole, and there's actually two of them in the room, one on each side of the altar. And you can see that there's a few women around one of them and a few men around another, and you guys are all led to stand with these other men, and then there's a sort of a congregation, I guess you'd call it, opposite the altar, and at the head of the congregation is a middle-aged man with graying hair and wrinkled skin, and he's got either tattoos or makeup all over his face, and he's dressed up. He's got a tuxedo and top hat on, you know, some silver buttons and cords hanging from his clothing, and he starts to sing, to chant, and I guess any of you can make me an occult roll if you like. And I don't know if you guys have French.
I don't, and I miss my occult.
Okay.
Same.
Yep, not even close, and no French.
All right. Lips. Did we lose him? Did I put him to sleep with my mellow voice?
Sorry, I was on mute. I failed, and no, I don't have French.
All right, well, that all goes together nicely then. So you can tell that it sort of goes in and out of French and English and maybe some other languages that you don't quite understand. It seems to be working its way to a pitch. And there's a man who comes from the congregation, and he seems to be breakdancing. He seems to be sort of moving, walking, jerking side to side, and the man in the top hat sort of goes to him and focuses on him and talks to him loudly, but not comprehensibly to you. And then at some point, a chicken is slaughtered, which is gotta have that. And the man, the herky jerky man, he starts chanting. And you guys can give me a pow roll if you want.
Okay, power roll.
Oh, I missed by one, but then I can use my luck, right?
Failed by lots.
Okay, so I'm gonna go down with luck to 54.
Yeah, I failed one.
Hard success, spot on.
Awesome, okay. So the only fail is Ivory?
Yep.
So Ivory, you're kind of watching all this, and it seems a little odd. I don't think you've ever seen a real hoodoo ceremony. And what's surprising to you is that shortly after the herky jerky man gives his big shout, you can see Saxy and Jimmy and Paul get down on the ground, and some of the other people too, some of the men and some of the women, and they seem to be sort of crawling around, slithering around on the ground, and making snaky
movements.
Snaky movements, snaky noises. And as far as you can tell, I mean, you know these guys really well. You can give me a sand roll.
Okay. Oh, well, that's a hard success, almost an extreme.
All right, so that's just a point there.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry.
Weird.
You are convinced that they are not putting it on. You know, you don't get.
They're actually.
Yeah.
Taken by the spirit.
They seem to be taken by the spirit, as do several other people, and this goes on for. Maybe it's only 10 or 15 minutes. Seems like a long time. The congregation seems very excited. They are the music is really hotted up and fast and loud, drumming and the singing. And you know, it's probably, you know, it's 110 degrees in here now and just packed with bodies and snake bodies. And there's smoke and, you know, maybe it's charcoal smoke. Maybe there's some weed being burnt of a certain sort. And but eventually it all calms down and the snaky people come to. You guys are lying on the ground. The last thing you remember was Herky Jerky Man making some loud incantation, and you guys had some visions or dreams that are all very cloudy, but you can see snakes and tunnels, rainbows, maybe they're snake rainbows or rainbow snakes. And you look around, you're lying on the ground in a crowded room. It's really hot, you're all sweaty and muddy. The air is smoky, and the drumming sort of has come down to just what you would do to vamping, basically, the equivalent. And the congregation seems to be hugging each other and moving around and helping, offering to help you guys up. And even the white folk get hugged.
Oh, wow.
Held up to your feet. Helped up to your feet.
Well, that was exciting. How you feeling, Abe? You feeling any better now, boy?
I'm not quite sure how I feel. Yeah,
Paul. I'm not quite sure how I feel. I saw some crazy stuff going on, but didn't seem to affect me.
So,
well, you're probably just too far gone sick then.
Best we just shoot you then.
So as you're sort of thinking about it and talking about it, Ivory, you can actually see that it looks like there are some spirals of red coming out from the red spots that you had.
Oh no!
And that you seem a little bit. Used or a little bit numb, and maybe it's just all the smoke and everything. You know, you've got a headache from the noise and the music. You do lose a POW.
A point of POW. Okay.
The rest of you guys don't seem any better, and you don't seem any worse.
If I notice those red swirls, I'm going to go talk to Moonbeam or whatever his name is. Moonlight.
Moonbeam.
Moonlight. Yep, Doc Moonlight there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Doc Moonlight? Excuse me. I don't think that worked very well. Could you look at this real quick, and I'll show them the spirals.
It looks like you have the sign of the snake on your arms. That's very mysterious. Did not seem that the snake visited you.
No, it didn't. It visited my friends just fine, but...
Well, your heart...
What does that mean?
Well, it means your heart was not open, that you were not prepared to be healed.
But I am.
That sounds like Abe. His heart not open. I believe that.
You have to have faith. You have to believe. You have to be open and ready.
Well, I am, Doc. I was. Or at least I thought I was.
There.
When's the next congregation?
Well, this is... This spirit only comes but once a week. On Thursdays, and
once a week.
We're not sure why, but he loves Thursdays. Does Dambala?
Well, that's it then. There's no hope for you, boy.
Thanks, Paul. You are such a good friend, caring after me.
How are we? You know, the rest of us feeling, Ellie?
You are feeling tired and a little bit confused, but otherwise neither worse nor better than you were at the beginning of all this.
Okay. And we didn't lose any POW, so that's something.
And you didn't lose any POW. Mm-hmm. When you get your friend's character sheets, you say, yo, we're better off than you.
Mm-hmm.
But it is late. You guys have been up for at least, well, maybe 14 hours by now. It's probably almost 2 in the morning. Somehow time compressed as you were going through the ceremony. It seemed like it wasn't but maybe 45 minutes, but it's definitely been a couple hours. You are given some drink and blindfolded again and taken out and spun around, and you are back where you were first blindfolded. And the night is down to its 2 a.m. levels, which is, in this neighborhood, is not too busy. There's some people about. You know, obviously at the bars there's still plenty of activity. Still another 3-4 hours of music and drink to be had. There you are.
Well, but how am I feeling? In particular.
How are you feeling?
Do I feel fine? I just have the red spirals.
Well, no, you still have that headache. You still seem kind of numb or dizzy.
I think I'm going to just make my way home to sleep.
Okay. You can definitely do that. So Ivory heads to bed. You guys split up, I guess. Go your separate ways. What about that?
Well, I guess, I don't know.
You're still pretty beat, but you're not feeling as bad as you were this morning. But
well, it's either stay out or go home to the girlfriend / wife.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I can rest for today and, you know, regain some strength for tomorrow. Yeah, why not? All right.
Okay. Paul?
I think Paul was BRB.
Oh.
Or AFK.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
So let's meet tomorrow again early in the morning so we can, you know, see how we all doing.
Well, I think we need to go down to this here plantation or bayou or wherever this Louison character is.
Right. It's better to go during the morning, I think.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. It was a few hours away, I think.
Yeah. Let's get together tomorrow morning and we'll head towards the plantation.
Sounds like an
excellent plan. And you guys don't know where it is yet, but I'm sure you can find out sometime tomorrow. Now,
all right.
Lips, did you want to do anything tonight?
No, I think I'll just basically go back and have an early one, and then so it can be good for the next day.
Okay. That sounds good. So I'm going to. Oh, he's now back. Excellent.
Yes, he is.
The folks have decided to go to bed early at 2-3 in the morning and meet early in the morning, which I assume means at 10 or 11, to head down to the, or to find, figure out where the plantation is and head down there. So it's just a question of whether Paul wanted to do anything else this evening.
Down to Thibodeau.
Down to Thibodeau, yeah.
No, I think our day is fat enough of a day.
I think so. All right, well, let's call it here as the band sleeps peacefully.
Sorry, what's the... There's like a picture in the notes. What? Obviously, I missed that. What is that?
Oh, sorry. So that was on a curtain over the doorway into the room where the ceremony was held.
Oh, okay. Cool. Fair enough.
And you guys saw some of that sort of thing in your dream of odd symbols and snakes and rainbows and stuff.
Ooh. Ooh.
So I have a question for you all.
See.
These Tales of the Crescent City were sort of written as not to sort of necessarily go from one to the other, but to at least potentially be the seeds of a sort of more sandboxy campaign, I guess. And I have been avoiding reading the other ones because I might get to play them someday. But I could also read them, and we could have sort of periodic New Orleans breaks in the same way that I guess we've had periodic Octung breaks, if that seems of interest to folks. And I don't think we need to decide right now, but...
Throwing it out there.
Because I think we'll probably get back to horror shortly.
Yep.
And then, obviously, we have a whole mess of stuff on the queue. It's all good. But something to think about, I guess.
Yeah, well, when I run masks, it'd definitely be good to have the breakup as well.
Yeah.
Breaking up.
And is that going to be better for you on the current time schedule or when we revert back to daylight savings, Gary? Actually, that's a pretty... Work. Yeah, I mean, because that could make a decision. That way we can see, you know, time frame that in.
But that's years, right? That's another...
Oh, that's a... That's if we make it through...
Right.
Running that during my daylight saving time period, so I'm starting at 11:30, would probably be better.
Okay. So when's that?
It'll be. I mean, I'm not in daylight saving, so I'm in daylight savings now. So I think
we go back on March 13th.
Yeah, so March, yeah.
So I'll add a note to the scenario schedule here. Maybe March-ish start.
Well, that's depending on how we're going with...
Right. Well, I guess it's really March, April, May, June, July, August, October. So it must be 6-7 months. So it's really sort of the March to September...
March to November, end of October.
Yep.
So it's just our switch, not you. So you guys don't also switch. I thought there were two switches that happened.
We switch on in October, and then you guys switch, I think, in November.
Right. Okay. So March to October, wherever that fits in. That seems pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Velvety paws.
Yeah. That should be fun. I'll just upload to the Dropbox for that, and then you guys can just make your kitties for whenever.
Cool.
Awesome.
Y'all
have a good week.
You too.
You too.
We'll catch you next week.
All right. Later, guys.
All right, guys.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, then.